We are here at Fringe Review's headquarters, which those of you that listen regularly will know is Pavilion Gardens Cafe, venue number one at Brighton Fringe. And I'm joined by...
Karen Schmidt.
Now, Karen, we are in what some people call the gay capital of Europe. It's a place of tolerance. It's a place where pride happens. And the paradox for a lot of people today is, even as, you know, the last decades have allowed sexual self-determination, self-definition to be freer than ever in some parts of the world, it's actually more recently again, people are getting into politics and then getting voted in who have got quite the opposite intolerant view. And we have places where there is still the death penalty for, you know, not being what they would call the norm. So when you decide to explore a historical real story, and go back, what does that kind of say now to you in this world? And have we learned nothing?
I think we have learned something, and then we are in the process of kind of losing it again. I think it's kind of a backward thinking, especially now that we look at the political situation and development in Europe as such. I think we've been further than where we are right now. And this is kind of a troublesome reality right now that we're in.
But staying in the modern at the moment, before we all hear this really interesting play that most people won't have known about this character, what's going on in Austria right now in relation to that?
Oh, well, it's kind of like we have a troublesome political situation at the moment. It's more going into the right-wing direction. As I said, it's like very backward thinking, and it's also less liberal than it used to be. And in terms of my play, which talks about female sexual self-determination and how women were treated during Nazi Germany, during World War II, if they didn't live up to certain purity or motherhood or ideal version of womanhood as such, there is a certain link to today, as this mindset actually continued all through the war and afterwards, because the people kept their positions, and so the mindset is still going on. And the situation of women, the sexuality of women, I think, is still a topic that some societies, or many actually, are still afraid of.
And we can imagine in your piece Taboo, you know, that the character then, you know, if they do go into an afterlife and they're able to see what's happening now, would be sad.
Well, in terms of Kitty Peterson, who's the protagonist of my show, she would be shocked in terms of like how liberal it is now.
Yeah, but also sad of the reversion again, the danger. People are saying it should never happen again, and yet people are saying all the signs are it could happen again with technology to make it even worse.
I agree, yes. I think, if you'd... I think for many people who lived in that time and who experienced it on themselves, what that meant, and they look at the present situation and the backwards development, they are shocked that this is about to happen again. That this is like things that were unthinkable to be said for a very long period of time are now again sayable. You know, it's and things become acceptable again. That it shouldn't be.
So I suppose I've asked all that because it does become a very live context to this piece that could have just been historically interesting, but almost becomes very urgent to see in some ways. So now I'm on to my first question. So tell us what Taboo is about.
Okay, thank you. Taboo is about World War II and the situation of women in that time and how they got treated if they didn't live up to a certain ideal version of womanhood, as I said before. But... So this social worker, Kitty Peterson, she made her career by prosecuting women who were seen to be promiscuous or just labeled as fallen women, or just somebody pointed the finger at them wrongly and accused them wrongly. And so they were prosecuted, and it went all the way to re-education centers, but also forced sterilization, and for some to concentration camps. And as I said, hinted at before, those re-education centers, they continued after the war, and so some women never got out and they died in those re-education centers, or who which at some point probably turn into psychiatries.
And, you know, the shocking bit about now is that, you know, re-education now, you know, to not be gay, you know, is there. That it's kind of, it's here now still, isn't it? It's the idea that there's a definition of normal, be that coming from a scientific fundamentalism or a religious one. And I think people might be shocked to know that, you know, it wasn't just anti-Semitism and Mengele's experiments on children, but there was this going on right into what now is normal to us, which is your right to determine your identity.
And it's a really important right to determine your identity and to choose how you want to live your sexuality and who you are. It's true. And also this, in homosexual areas, the re-education programs are still active and exist. But also re-education centers for women, they existed until very recently. I think in the Magdalena asylums, it was like a global thing linked to the Catholic Church, I think.
Yeah, particularly strong in Ireland, of course.
Yeah, and the last was closed in 1996, so that's very recent in to me. But also in different cultures, like female sexuality is meant to be controlled because societies are afraid of women just living it freely.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to me, like, because it's not a conscious concept, but during my research, it made me question a lot of how we are brought up and how socialization is influencing our way of living and how we build our expectations that we carry with us towards our own behavior.
So you have your own kind of modern attitude about this, but you also do your research and you discover this character.
Yeah.
How do you fuse that into a piece of theater?
Oh, it kind of molded together through the writing process, really. And the way I found Kitty Peterson was actually by accident. I wanted to write a play about prostitution. And then I realized very quickly that this is a very broad topic and you reach the topic of human rights very quickly. And then I didn't quite know how to tackle it. But I found this one article about Kitty Peterson, the social worker, and it was so profound and so shocking in the way that she would victimize other women, being a woman herself, that I thought, oh, that just like gives me a sense of direction and a very clear-cut version of a possible play. And then, you're right. I mean, I researched a lot of literature and I found interviews of victims of the time and I recorded those. And so they have a voice in the play, within that play.
So did you get information about her character or did you have to imagine that a lot?
I did. I mean, I researched a lot about the situation of social work in that time. And since she was a social worker, that influenced a lot of how I made her... how I created her dialogue, really. But, I researched as much as I could about herself and how she was brought up as well, but her childhood is not part of the play, but it influenced me as an actress how I would interpret.
And then, did you largely script and then rehearse, or did you devise?
Did you largely script and rehearse, or did you devise,
and the kind of script found its way from you experimenting in the rehearsal room?
It was not much of an experiment. It fell into place. I cannot really explain it otherwise. And there was this idea of creating a talk show and inviting this character from the afterlife to be part of it, and that she would appear and think, oh, she's going to be awarded again, because she actually was never questioned throughout her whole entire life. But then the hostess of the show starts questioning, and she ends up having to justify herself, which is a very new situation for her. But once that idea was there, like, I just needed to find a way to organize it.
And in the early versions of it, what kind of feedback did you get, and did that influence the development of the piece?
It was by the time I performed it, it was in Austria, it was in German, and it was pretty much clear cut, like it was fully developed in that way. So and the feedback was really, really strong. Like, people had really great reactions to the play. It was very touching and very moving. And some people in Austria had personal relationships to. One person in the audience wrote me an email afterwards, and he was very touched because he had in his own family history that with forced sterilization, and so he was very touched by that. And yeah, I think many people told me that it's a worthwhile play to see because it makes you think about things that you weren't aware of.
Was it ever unbearable for you to play it?
For me to play it? I think it's it is challenging to play, to be honest, because I cannot allow myself to judge the character in that moment, because then I won't be able to play her. And that's the challenge, I think. Because, of course, I feel like, oh, everything she did was wrong. But then I cannot go on stage thinking that, because I am, in that moment, Kitty Peterson. Yeah.
You've invoked the afterlife, which is a kind of spiritual thing. So this Nazi social worker, how would she react if she saw you perform it?
I think she might turn in her grave, probably. I don't know.
You don't think it would be a mirror, you know, a shocking mirror?
Yeah, I think it would be shocking mirror. The thing about her is that she never got questioned all. Like, she got awarded 1980 for her lifelong work, really, in the social fields. And that was 1 year before she died. So I assume she never got that mirror. So I don't know how.
So there was a collusion, a kind of whitewashing of her to appear better than the truth underneath that you discovered.
I think she kind of escaped history in that way. It's just not a known fact that happened. And because obviously during World War II, so many horrifying things happened. And, you know, but yeah, it's just another detail, I guess, from that time. And
You know, an important detail to be shared.
Yeah, to be shared. And actually it's a detail that carried on, like, for a very, very long time after the war. So I think that's also interesting.
So you may not know the whole answer to this, but now coming back to this modern context again, here at the Brighton Fringe, where people have different attitudes, but we are in a fairly tolerant city, but not everyone here is tolerant. What impact do you think seeing this play can have on people's attitudes today?
I think it can definitely make you think and rethink your own position and take on different perspectives and make you aware of the dangers of having a narrow mindset, really, of not allowing somebody else his or her freedom, really.
And also, as you suggest, you know, there's the double standards of, on the one hand, being tolerant of those around us, even as we're very intolerant how we vote, for example.
Yes. I think the double standard of society is definitely something that this play can make you aware of and also reflect on today's political situation and society.
Thank you for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you so much.